Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
I'm off, I'm out.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Hey, what's up, man? Joe Spadoni in for Bonte Hill alongside Sam Lubman, who is in for Joe Shasky. It's the morning roast. We're halfway home here. We're live and local all day right here on 95.7 The Game. Hope you all had a lovely Thanksgiving holiday. Hope you all having a great Black Friday. If you're working, shout out to you. If you're not working, also shout out to you. And shout out to everyone who's watching on Twitch, Twitter, or YouTube. All powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. We had, I wouldn't say great games yesterday, but games that ended up being ridiculous. The Bears and Lions being one of them. You got the muff punt early against the Dolphins and the Packers. You knew that game was going to go downhill very quickly. Sorry, Ken, big Dolphins guy in the back. And then you had you had Tommy DeVito. You had Drew Locke. I don't know. It was just a mess.
Cooper Rush. Man. Yes. Well, how about the Cowboys beating the sorry ass Giants? Then Micah Parsons being like, "Oh yeah, no, we're ready to go on a run here."
Exactly. It's just
like, come on. Now I get there's one thing to be optimistic. It's another thing to just be delusional.
That's all right to be delusional. Hey,
well, at that point, you're just saying stuff.
We're all a little delusional right now. I mean, Giants fans, I mean, they were delusional thinking they were
going to get... Giants fans are delirious, not delusional.
They were delusional thinking they were going to get Blake Snell back because the Dodgers got him, and we'll get into that as the show goes on. Maybe Niners fans are a little delusional thinking, hey, they could win in Buffalo this week as 7-point underdogs, maybe without Brock Purdy. Maybe that's delusion, but you know what? That's why we love being fans. And right now, I don't think it's delusional to say the Warriors are one of the best teams, even on this three-game losing streak. They're one of the best teams in the Western Conference. It's not delusional. Why?
Third in the Western Conference right now. Behind the surprising Houston Rockets.
8-10 in their last, 8-2 in their last 10, the Houston Rockets, by the way. They have been playing very well. The San Francisco 49ers not playing well, but we're going to pivot right now. We'll get back into the Niners at some point because we want to talk about the Dubs. And, yeah, they're on a three-game losing streak. And that last loss, which was kind of those ones that pisses you off as a fan, right? Because you thought you were just going to get blown out. You thought the Thunder were going to win comfortably. It's just like, yeah, they don't have Chet, but they have SGA. We don't have Steph. It's going to be tough when you're missing your best player. And then they made a run. And then a guy named Pat Spencer comes out of nowhere. Who? Pat Spencer? This guy. It's just, okay. And then Andrew Wiggins. you know, he airballs it in the last possession. And it's like, what was that? So it's one of those losses where it was just really tough to swallow. And it's the third straight loss. And yes, this team wasn't going to go wire to wire and just handle every single team. They were going to do that. They're going to have their rough points in the season. But overall, Sam Lubman, I think Warriors fans on November 29th, if you were to tell them, hey, heading into December, heading into this hot stretch, you're 12-6, you're third in the West, you got to be feeling pretty good, right? I mean, come on.
Oh, no, I mean, I think this is, for a season we're coming into it, I think there was a lot of kind of trepidation on what this team would look like, because there was a lot of unknowns. It was the first time you're going to be seeing this team without Klay Thompson. How's that going to affect things? You know, say what you will about Klay Thompson, but when he was on the court last year, he was still a threat as a shooter, and he still had some gravity, which opened up space for Steph Curry. And when you took away that space, it made things harder for Steph. So it was very interesting this year. What's Steph going to look like without that extra shooter on the court? Well, we got the answer there in the play of Buddy Hield. Bonte was saying before the year, buy stock in Andrew Wiggins. I don't think you could have bought enough stock in Andrew Wiggins this summer, because he has been an absolute revelation this year. The Wiggins we have getting this year versus the Wiggins we've been getting the last couple years has been, it is just, like, just look at these numbers. You know, for the last 2 years, 14 points per game, set 4 rebounds a game, shooting 37% from 3 on 4.4 attempts per game. This year, though, he's got those numbers up to 17 points a game. Rebounds are still consistent, about 4 a game. About 2 assists per game, which is more in line with his career norm. Last couple years, he had 1.7. But he's shooting 41% from 3, and he's taking 5 attempts per game over last year's 4. So the volume's up, the percentages is up, the scoring is up. Everything about Andrew Wiggins is up, and he's doing it on both sides of the floor, too. So you want to know why, one of the reasons why you're feeling so good about this team and why you're feeling, you know, why this team is so improved from last year. The improved play from Andrew Wiggins has been a massive part of that.
Not his best game in the loss to the Thunder. 16 points, 4 of 16 from the floor, 3 of 8 from beyond the arc. So not his greatest shooting performance, but as you said, defensively he's been fine the last few years. Like, that's the thing with him. Like, every game I know what I'm getting defensively from Andrew Wiggins, it's the offensive inconsistencies that have just been really tough. It's been one step forward, two steps back. We talked about it ad nauseum last year. How much did we talk about trading Andrew Wiggins because of what you were getting, or what I should say, what you were not getting from him? I said that ad nauseum. I said, you got to move on from Andrew Wiggins. I'll admit that. You got to move on from the guy. I said that last year. I said it in the offseason. Trade this guy, because I don't think he's ever going to be able to catch the lightning in a bottle that you got a couple years ago. Now, I think a lot of us, me included, underestimated just how much of a mental toll he was going through in his personal life. We knew there was something going on with his father. We knew there was some sort of illness happening. And now we know that he lost his father during the offseason, and he's talked about it a lot. Just the mental weight that is lifted off your shoulders, a closing, if you will, of that chapter and that heartache and what he was having to go through for him and his family, right? And having that on your shoulder, it's a burden. It really is, and it's tough. And there's closure now within him, and we're seeing it on the court. But as the number one guy, kind of, I don't think he was for sure the number one guy, but it kind of felt like he was going to have to be, because he had 16 shots and he wasn't shooting it very well. It felt like he was forcing a lot of stuff against the Thunder. Not having Steph there, it was a tough look.
It's tough.
It was.
It's always tough without Steph, though. No matter, like, unless you have, you know, Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson on your team, it's very hard to win for the Warriors. We don't have Steph.
You don't have Klay. You need that scoring option elsewhere. Now, Buddy Hield helps, but Buddy Hield's coming off the bench and stuff like that. So, Andrew Wiggins, I still need to see a little bit more before I'm fully on the boat here and fully bought in. Like, because what we're talking about with Andrew Wiggins is getting back to that second best player on a championship team form.
Yeah, like,
and I don't know if that's fair to discuss that yet this early in the season. Like, talking championship still when we're 18 games into a season, it's a little far-fetched.
No, let's get a little bit closer to the All-Star break.
Can we get out of the play-in picture completely before we start talking about that? And right now, this looks like a playoff team, not a play-in team, which is a huge step, because heading into the season, Sam, was, is this a play-in or a playoff team? And I think most people would have argued they are a play-in team.
Yeah.
And right now, They're playing like a playoff team.
They are playing like a playoff team. And again, I think just the improved play of Andrew Wiggins is a big part of that. I'm not saying he's an all-star. I don't know if he is your bona fide, legit number two, you know, the Robin to Steph's Batman. I don't know if he is that. But a big reason why the Warriors are better this year is because of the play of Andrew Wiggins. Another reason why I think the Warriors are a lot better this year than they were last year, it's Draymond Green. Like, he called last year, how many times do we say it on this show, Spadoni, the most important season of his career? We said that ad nauseum on this show this last year because Draymond Green was not playing the game last year like it was the most important season of his career. It was just not good last year. I mean, how many nights, Spadoni, are we watching Warrior games and our show text thread is blowing up with texts from Joe Shasky lamenting the poor offensive play on Draymond Green?
Maybe he was referencing his podcast as the most important season for this podcast, okay. Not on the court. I think hashtag new media, by the way. I think that's what he was referring to.
It's always fun.
Continue.
There you go. All right. Well, that makes a little bit more sense, but that doesn't really help out the product on the court. As far as I know, there is no rule in the NBA about if you record X amount of podcasts, you get, you know, X amount of wins. I don't know if there's a correlation there.
We'll ask J.J. Redick, head coach of the Lakers and podcaster.
There you go, yeah.
Who's our guy who's the radio host for Fox Sports, who's now the college coach for Green Bay? Doug Gottlieb? We'll see how he's doing. How are they doing? I think they have like two wins. So there you go.
I wonder how Woj is doing with his team that he's...
Oh, the Bonnies? St. Bonaventure?
Yeah.
The Bonnies? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's see. Let's look at it.
I'm a Shams guy now, so sorry.
There you go.
Woj is outside of mind. If you're not giving me content, you know.
Honestly, yeah, I still have the notifications when Woj tweets. I got to turn those off because he's not dropping Woj bombs anymore.
Nope.
So, but no, like, Draymond Green is a different player this year. Like, he's both on the court and it feels like off the court. He's a different player. Like, we're not getting those long, you know, text blow up threads from Shasky during games about Draymond Green's offensive game anymore. You know, it's just he's shooting the three a little bit more. He's hitting the three a little bit more, and more importantly, Spadoni, I feel like those outbursts that we saw last year on the court that led to that all that time missed. I feel like we're not seeing that at all this year. Like, he's definitely shown frustrations at times, but he's not pushing the limit.
Well,
now, we're going to get a nice little test tomorrow night when Draymond goes against his old buddy Yusuf Nurkic.
You see what he's saying lately, Yusuf Nurkic, real quick?
No, I haven't. No, enlighten
me. Of the Phoenix Suns, obviously, he was saying some ridiculous stuff about the fans not this is what it is. This is the quote just the other day. I think this is after their win against the Lakers, and he had a big game. Quote, "I've been judged since I got here the most. Everybody wants me to play the KD role." That was Yusuf Nurkic. Man, shut up.
Wants
Yusuf Nurkic. Please.
Stand on the back and get rebounds.
Like, stop. You're no one important enough to be having quotes like that. Everyone wants me to play like that. Just be quiet. Please. That's all we want from you, Yusuf
Please.
Nurkic. I was on his side with the old Draymond debacle when he pimp slapped him a couple years ago, because that's what happened.
It was last year he did the whole wind up and turn.
Exactly. It was this calendar year last year.
It was last December. Well, that was the one that led to the indefinite
Thank
suspension.
You. It was December of last year. So there we go. We're coming up on the anniversary, actually. So there you go.
Think I'll have a cake for that?
There you go. We're going to have a lot of anniversaries about all the different things that Draymond did last year.
On this day in Draymond history.
I love him.
He punched this guy.
That's actually a good call. We should probably do that as a station. What did Draymond do today?
This day in Draymond. Who did Draymond punch today?
As we're ragging on Draymond like that, let's hear from Draymond talking about being a leader this year with the Golden State Warriors.
You know, I think so many of everybody wanted it. You know, JK was getting to the hole, he wanted it. Wiz got into the paint a couple times, he wanted it. BP did as well. But our spacing wasn't correct, and so they're able to collapse on the paint, and we don't have the proper kickouts because our spacing wasn't right, because we weren't getting into anything. It was just guys making plays themselves. And so I can do a better job there, you know, and I definitely have to, especially when Steph's out. When he's out, you know, I have to make sure that I'm getting us into something. And AV told me, he told me the last 2 days that would be the case. And times you just get lost in the game. And, you know, I kind of got lost in the game a little bit, but I got to be able to identify, you know, that we're a little scattered and get us settled down and get us into something. That's not on BP or any of those guys. They don't have the experience to do that. So that's my fault.
That's him. That's him taking ownership.
Self-awareness
there. No, that's good to hear. That's what he should be saying. There's no Steph. I'm the leader of this. I'm the one that has four rings. I'm the one that's going to be going to the Hall of Fame. I need to step up and be a leader offensively, defensively, everything, getting everyone on the right track. Like, that final play call, I don't know what they were thinking. Like, they thought that like Wiggins was a spring forward, and then got
that
hand
was
the face.
A weird one. Yeah,
I don't know what that was. And usually, Steve Kerr is really good at the inbound calls and stuff like that too. So I usually give him credit where it's due, but I don't know what.
I thought they just
there.
Botched the execution of it.
Yeah,
that's what I saw there. It looked like it would have worked out. Wiggins wasn't really able to get free. I think like he probably wanted to, and he ended up taking kind of a scuff shot there. But like, yeah, I like the play they drew up there. And it just, it did, I can't imagine they imagined it going out like that.
Steve Kerr talked about it after the game.
Yeah, so we practice this stuff quite a bit. Kyle's a great inbounds passer, so we wanted Kyle in the game, and we ran a play that we've been practicing a little bit. They guarded it really well. The opening wasn't there, but I thought Draymond made a great play on catch, hitting Wiggs, on the back door. Wiggs just was a little off balance, but Draymond made a hell of a play. Wiggs made a really good cut, just didn't convert.
Didn't convert. Again, it looked like it could have. At the first split second, I was like, oh my God, they got... And then it just... an air ball. Just did not look good. But Andrew Wiggins, for the most part, again, we've been talking about him. He's been a pleasant surprise so far this season. I think there's been a couple pleasant surprises so far this season. I know Buddy Hield, he's kind of been cooled down a little bit lately, but he had a good game in that loss to the Thunder. He's been a positive so far this team. Draymond Green has probably been the team's second best player behind Stephen Curry. And speaking of Steph, are you all worried about this this injury, Sammy? Every time you hear bilateral, I mean, we know with Christian McCaffrey, it's not the Achilles, but
yeah.
Steph's old, man. The knees are getting old. Yeah. Concerned a little bit. I don't know.
Before I answer that question, just putting a bow on that last play that I just kind of went and rewatched it. Give Lou Dort some credit there for the defensive
pressure.
Dortcher
chamber.
Like Lou Dort just locked Andrew Wiggins up there too. So let's tip our cap there to the guy a little bit. But regarding Steph though, anytime Steph's injured, you have to be worried because the Warriors they're 3-1 this year without Steph. Last year was really tough without Steph. The year before was one of the best years the Warriors ever played without Steph. So these things fluctuate from time to time. Every year it seems like, this team, though, without Steph, it's just going to create so much pressure down the rest of the roster, especially after you lose D'Anthony Melton, too. Because it's just right now, Brandon Podziemski, who got the start for Steph the other night, he's not going to replace the scoring anywhere close to. The scoring just is not there for Pods right now. Buddy Hield, he's going to... I feel like we're starting to see the Buddy Hield that we all know and love kind of start to show through here. Everyone was saying up in Sacramento, we never saw this Buddy Hield before. Now we're starting to see, the Buddy Hield.
The honeymoon phase is over.
You
ever watched Love Is Blind?
I have not.
It's a great show. So they got the pods where you're meeting the people, they're talking to them, they don't see each other yet. Love Is Blind's the show, right? So you propose without looking at the person. So the pods is where they, not Brandon Podziemski, but this is where they're talking to people.
Podsibly.
They just speak like we're speaking to people on radio. They don't know what we look like unless you're on Twitch or YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. So you're just talking, and then, you get engaged, and then you go to the honeymoon phase. So you go to a resort, either it's in Cancun or Cabo. I'm watching Love Is Blind Mexico right now after finishing the American season. It's all right. And we're going to get into Argentina after that. But then you do the honeymoon phase. And then that's over after a couple weeks. Then you go live together, all right?
And now we're
living with Buddy Hield, and we're going to see, is he messy? Is he a clean freak?
Was he clipping his toenails in the kitchen?
Is he a smoker? Is he clipping his toenails? We're going to find out a lot about Buddy Hield as the honeymoon phase is over in Golden State.
And if that goes south, Buddy Hield's been a big reason why the Warriors have gotten off to such a great start. The Buddy Buckets, I call them the Splash Buddy, the Buddy Hield Revolution, whatever you want to call it. It was a big reason why the Warriors got to such a great start here. And, what did he do the other night here with Steph out, coming off the bench? He was able to get 17 points, 5 of 8 from 3. So he had a pretty good showing last night. But Buddy Hield alone is not enough. So, with Steph out, after a while, I'll absolutely get concerned about it. Now, in this part of the schedule, too, this is a brutal part of the schedule. So they're going to need to get Steph back soon because as brutal as this part of the schedule is, they got to stack some wins here.
So you got the Suns, you got the Nuggets, both of those on the road. The Nuggets, obviously, an NBA Cup matchup on Tuesday, the altitude. And we'll have that live and local right here at 95.7 The Game. Again, tomorrow, Warriors-Suns, 6 o'clock, Warriors coverage starts at 5 with Warriors Live, and then tip off at 6 with the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy. Then you got the Rockets at home at Chase Center. Then you're back on the road, or check that. Then you're hosting the Timberwolves for, it's those little like Texas two-steps, as I call them. You stay here. It's like a little mini-series. So Friday, you got the T-Wolves, and then that Sunday, you get the day off in between, then you got the Timberwolves again, then you got the Grizzlies. So yeah, this next six-game stretch, if you want to do that before heading back on the road to Memphis there, it's going to be tough. But specifically these next two games, you don't want to start, you lose tomorrow, and then it starts feeling like, okay, this...
Four games in a row now. Yeah. It's like, hold on, what are we doing here? By the way, Buddy Hield, 17 points game, first 12 games of the year. In the six games that have followed, the Warriors are 2-4 in that time, and he is averaging about 11 points a game. So we are seeing some drop-off from Buddy Hield, and, you know, I don't know if it's a direct correlation, causation sensation here with Buddy Hield, but the fact the Warriors are struggling just a smidge with Buddy not scoring as much. I mean, that 17 points he dropped against the Thunder were the most he's done in that stretch since he dropped 18 against the Grizzlies back on November 15th. So, yeah, Buddy Hield, he's... I'm not going to sit here and say that he's completely come back down to earth. I don't think six games for me personally is not a big enough sample size. But, yeah, it's not great right now, Buddy.
We're going to find out... I'm not your buddy, guy. Yeah. We're going to find out the Golden State Warriors in this coming month. And we talked about that with Anthony Slater a couple years ago. Our 95.7 The Game Warriors Insider covers the team for The Athletic. And you can find that interview on YouTube or download the free Odyssey app and thousands of other stations. Like and subscribe. We would greatly appreciate it.
Kirk Cousins.
Thank you. And he's a mashed potatoes guy, as we know.
Like a mashed potatoes guy?
I didn't have any mashed potatoes yesterday. Actually, I had...
We didn't actually have them either. We had like sweet potatoes, but not mashed potatoes.
I'm not mad at that. I had birria tacos I made myself in the crock pot. Slow cooked that bad boy. The chuck roast in there. Oh, yeah. I made
some... How long do you slow cook it for?
Well, I did mine on high for 4 hours. You want to do it low and slow, you do low for 8 hours.
Yeah,
I was in a rush, so 4 hours.
Shout out O'Neal.
And then I'm going to go home when I get back. I'm going to make some and crack some eggs on top there and have a little breakfast action.
Okay, so there you go. I love the when I had the crock pot. I love doing the pork. You know, when you're down Miami, you get into the slow roasted Cuban pork.
Some Cubanos.
I got my own Cuban pork. I got my own Cuban spice mix I put together. Oof. And you do 8 hours of the pork shoulder.
It's good. It's
delicious.
That stuff
just falls out. Crock pots, man.
They are
something special.
People out there right now, Black Friday deals. Go out and get one.
That's
Why
a great
not?
One to get.
Go
today.
Go Monday.
Maybe
you know,
get an extra
Monday.
One and mail it to 95.7 The Game, 88 Kearney Street. You know, let's get a crock pot here in the studio.
We probably have one somewhere, not in the studio, because it would be smelling way too good, and we'd all be salivating at the mouth.
Someone's knocking it over on something.
We probably have one somewhere, to be honest with you. But I want to get back to the Warriors here, just as wrap up this conversation. An 888-957-9570. You know, the depth of this team, it could be a strength and it could be a weakness at times, because when you don't have Stephen Curry, this is when things are highlighted. The deficiencies of a Buddy Hield at times, of an Andrew Wiggins, of a Brandon Podziemski, of a Jonathan Kuminga, right? And I think this is what fans are going to have to learn about this team in the next month, is are they a true contender or are they still a couple pieces away? And I don't think there's a move out there right now to be made that makes this team an instant title contender.
Aside from Giannis.
But Giannis and the Bucks are at the fifth seed now.
No, even that one's still, it's still. I bet you mentioned
I'm not touching Joel Embiid with a 10-foot pole,
by
the way.
Oh, no, God,
I do not want that toxicity and those knees in this building at all.
We've had
I want to put a bow on this.
Go ahead.
You need Jonathan Kuminga. I am not parting with that guy because you know what? He was one of the few players that looked like he belonged at the court. Against a young athletic team like the Oklahoma City Thunder. I needed Jonathan Kuminga in the Western Conference. I need that strength, size, and athleticism. Yes, is he a little bit raw still? Yes, but you know what? He's getting better and better every time he's getting minutes out on the court. He is going to be lessening those mistakes every single time he gets more playing time down the stretch of a game. It's the only time you can learn. Kind of like what the 49ers learning right now, those young 49ers being thrust in this position early. Sam Lubman, Jonathan Kuminga is going to have to learn too in some of these games and some of these losses. But I would rather learn with him than blow this thing up for a guy that's going to bring toxicity or bring negative attention or anything like that. I'm not looking at any big trades with this team right now. I say you stay the status quo, you keep gelling, and we're going to find out what this team really is after this month of December coming up.
I agree with you there, especially on Kuminga. And on the other side, I'll kind of get into why I think Jonathan Kuminga is a big reason why the Warriors are better this year, because he's another one where it's just, you know, a lot of people, we love to kind of crush Kuminga at times, but he had 10 clutch points for this team in the second quarter the other night. So on the other side, we can get into why I think the Kuminga, again, I agree with you. I'm keeping Kuminga. Well, the final request of Papa Shasky, don't trade Kuminga.
There you go.
I'm standing by that.
Absolutely. That's Sam Lubman. I'm Joe Spadoni. We are 2.5 hours down here. We've got another hour and a half here left on the Morning Roast. We want to hear from you. 888-957-9570 is the number. Good morning to all you lovely people just waking up, getting off work. It's a beautiful day here in the Bay, too. It's not rainy. It's not overcast. It is gorgeous out there. It might be a little nippy, a little chilly. But that's, it's fall weather. It's a crispness in the air, which I love. So you got to put on those jackets, put on those beanies, and cozy up and listen to the Morning Roast because we're roasting, baby. And what's coming up on the game is brought to you by the all-new Honda of Vallejo. More of your calls, more of your text, more Warriors on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, Dub Nation, it's Trace Jackson Davis, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
What's up, TJG? Trace Jackson Davis. My guy, Trace Jackson Davis. I say everyone's my guy, Sam Lubman, because we had a lot of the Warriors players and staff and coaches and announcers do rejoins for all the shows. And a lot of them did some for the pregame show. It was great. The pregame show, Joe Spadoni, Monday through Friday with myself, 5 to 6 a.m. You'll hear Sam a lot, actually, as well. He chimes in if he's not knee-deep in Morning Roast prep work, because he's doing that. There's a lot baked into that. But I have a lot of rejoins, and Trace Jackson Davis is one of them. But you know who didn't do rejoins for me?
Draymond
or Steph Curry? It's a tough scene. Yeah. Yeah. So everyone else, everyone else on the team is actually my favorite players.
They're at the basement.
I'm not going to say I root against Steph and Draymond for not doing a recording of you're listening to the pregame show, Joe Spadoni, but I'm not saying that. So it just is what it is. I got beef with them. Although I just did get a Stephen Curry jersey.
There you go. So it's coming a little bit better.
So there
now.
You go. Yeah. The NBA City Connect jerseys that they were wearing there you go. The other day.
Wear it to the next Laker game.
Yeah, there you go.
So
on 95.7 The Game.
Love it.
Yeah, that's the end of the segment. That's the end of the show, people. See ya. No, it's been a great show. We were actually been flying by, and this Warriors talk has been really good. And we'll get into some of the Giants, because I know you have some Giants thoughts here, maybe in the next 20 minutes or so. But we'll get back into what took place yesterday in Thanksgiving. We're not letting Matt Eberflus off the hook. We're just not doing it as a show today. So we're going to get into that at some point as well, because that was just a disaster. And yes, 49ers fans, it can get worse. I'm just letting you know. Your head coach, Kyle Shanahan, is not the biggest problem here when it comes to the Bay Area hierarchy of coaching and whatnot. But back to the Warriors here. You had something you wanted to say about one Jonathan Kuminga, who didn't get his contract at the start of the season, has been coming off the bench, and has been playing pretty well, I thought. And, you know, a lot was made about Lauri Markkanen, and is it Pods or is it Kuminga? Can you get rid of one of them? Can you get rid of both of them? So on and so forth. But they paid Moses Moody. You know, he got his contract. It wasn't what Jonathan Kuminga is looking for. He's looking for $150+ million kind of a dollar. He's looking for the bag. I don't know if he's going to get it from the Warriors, but I also know the Warriors aren't in a position where they can just flip Jonathan Kuminga as soon as possible for the next best thing. So where are you at, Sam Lubman, with Jonathan Kuminga, his play, and his future with his franchise?
No, Kuminga, again, he's a big reason why the Warriors are better this year. He's averaging 14.6 points per game off the bench. That's fourth best in the NBA. Him and Buddy Hield, I think he's got like the third most points off the bench right now, points per game-wise. That is a big reason why the Warriors' bench is the highest scoring bench in the NBA. And that depth has been a bit, it's been carrying them a lot early on as they stack these wins to start the season here. He's thriving in that role off the bench. Like he's you know, potential sixth man, you know, consideration even right now, the way that he's going so far this season. He's a plus 37 off the bench, which is ninth best in the NBA, which, you know, top 10 is always good. He could probably get up to top five, hopefully, which, you know, he's missed some games too, which definitely hurt him as well. But, you know, it's just this year, more than ever, like the Warriors cannot be afraid to utilize his skill set. Like, it's just he has all the tools, I think, to be not just a great defender and a great scorer. So I think he's got it all to be great on both sides of the floor there. And he's been in limited time one of their better clutch players too. And by clutch players, I mean clutch time, which, you know, as for those who don't know, clutch time in the NBA is defined as, I believe, as a 5-minute game with 5 minutes to play. 5-point game with 5 minutes to play. So, and the Warriors, they've played 10 such games now after their game against OKC the other night. They're 5-5 in those games. They're 7.8 points per game in clutch time. It's 23rd best in the league. Jonathan Kuminga, though, has been one of your better scorers in clutch time behind Steph Curry, albeit in less games and less minutes. So I kind of like try Kuminga more out in these closing lineups here, even when Steph comes back. And see if you can get something going there, because Jonathan Kuminga, it's just, they're going to have to make a decision with him because he is a restricted free agent after this year. And the Warriors, I'm not quite sure what their financial situation is going into next year. I know they're hard cap this year. Next year it might be different. But so the way, obviously, for, again, restricted free agency, any deal that is made to a player, the Warriors will have, I believe, 24 hours to at least match it. If some other team comes along, like a team that's a ton of money, like the Rockets or one of these other young up-and-coming teams, and just drops a fat contract in front of JK, I don't know right now if the Warriors will go out of their way to match it, depending on, you know, how big that number is. But right now, what we're seeing this year, Jonathan Kuminga, the way he's flourished on the bench, is, again, a big reason why the Warriors are in a good spot right now overall, even despite this recent 3-game losing streak.
888-957-9570 is the number. We go positive negatives here with in regards to the Golden State Warriors. What are you feeling best about? What are you not feeling so good about right now when it comes to the Dubs? They're on a 3-game losing streak, so I don't want to, you know, act like everything's sunshine and rainbows. This team is struggling a little bit right now. Stephen Curry sounded like he's going to play tomorrow against the Suns. They're going to need him. The Suns have been playing very well. Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, et cetera, Devin Booker. You know what they got over there. Yusuf Nurkic clearly is a little disgruntled too. And there's obviously, as we talked about last segment, history between him and Draymond Green. So, Suns, Nuggets. We're going to start looking at this team against some of the big boys in the West, the teams we expect to be there at the end of this season. I don't know if people are still expecting the Warriors to be like, I don't know if we have that respect for them as a society, as a media, quite yet. Are we ready to slide the Warriors in as legit contenders? I know they got Steph.
Flip the switch.
And it's interesting, right? Because I do feel like we give that to certain teams, not others. I mean, Stephen Curry did win a title a couple years ago. Draymond Green was a part of that team. Andrew Wiggins was a part of that team. I know they don't have Klay Thompson. I know Jonathan Kuminga and Moses Moody didn't contribute much that season, but they played. And they were a part of that.
They helped.
They helped. Steve Kerr has been there and done that. Why aren't we giving them kind of that love, if you will, of like, hey, this team's third in the Western Conference right now. What's to say they can't win the whole damn thing? Is that just because the depth of the West and people are expecting the T-Wolves to get better at some point? They're expecting the Mavericks to be better at some point? Are they're expecting Chet Holmgren and the Thunder to take that even that next step? Why are we so reluctant right now, Sam Lubman, to, you know, give the Warriors that, you know what, their legit contender title right now? Why are we hesitant right now with that?
Well, think of everything we've seen over the last couple of years. I mean, we've seen a team that's routinely been hovering around the 500 mark basically all year long. I mean, what was it, a couple of years ago? I don't think they never got more than 4 games above 500, I think, was the punch year.
Yeah, but the Lakers are like that, but we say LeBron and AD, you know, they can do it.
Well, yeah, and I really
how come they get that level of respect and not the Warriors?
Because it's LeBron James, that's why. And because
he's 40.
Well, it's LeBron James, that's why. Like, you could say, like, it's Steph Curry. As much as we love him, he is not LeBron James. LeBron James has a level of benefit of the doubt that, deserved right now or not, he still has it. No, the Warriors, just the last 2 years, and this could be a situation where just here in the bubble, we're too close to everything. So maybe if we go outside, like we've had people, we had someone at the beginning of the year talking about how they still fear Stephen Curry. I forget who it was. It's escaped me at the moment, but it was someone from, you know, outside the Bay Area.
Oh, it was the New Orleans Pelicans.
That's who it was.
We'll get his name in a second.
Yeah, he kind of talked about, you know, he still fears Steph Curry. Like, Steph still strikes fear into other teams around the association. But no, as to why they don't get the benefit of the doubt is it's the last couple of years, I think, have just kind of...
Antonio Daniels,
there you go. The last couple of years have just kind of, I think, just kind of put a damper on things. His last 2 years, he's just seen a team that's really struggled to get out of their own way and put some distance between themselves and a 500 record. This year, they're doing it. But now you see a three-game losing streak, and it's just... You know, if they had a losing streak like this maybe a month from now, I don't think you're not feeling as tight. But it's early in the season. You can make the argument that was just a hot start. Now they're coming back down to earth. Like, it's still early enough in the season that we don't quite know what this team is. We know that they're better than last year. But the question is how much better. They were a 44-win team last year. So, the unanimous.
We're a 43-win team, dude.
Exactly, Nick. But you have, you know, the anonymous players saying they're going to win 50. I don't know if they're quite at the 50-gate win level yet. 48, 49 wins, that could be their ceiling. I just think it's early enough in the year. The frustrations of the last 2 years are still very much on everybody's mind, and it's at a point where, yeah, they could be coming back down to earth. So we'll see what these next couple weeks tell us about this team. They have one of the tougher schedules in the NBA to the end of the new year. So, yeah, I think that's kind of where the trepidation comes in.
I think it's wide open. I really do. I'm just looking at the teams, the collection of talent right now. I know we expect the T-Wolves to be there at the end. We expect the Mavericks. Those are the two teams that represented the Western Conference Finals last year. I know we expect the Nuggets. I know they're playing. They've been up and down this season. But Jamal Murray and Jokic, can they get on the same page? And then
Thunder will be there.
Thunder, yeah, exactly. They're number one right
now. Grizzlies are a lot better this year.
And we'll see what the Grizzlies... Again, I'm saying I don't like fear. Like, there's not one team in the West I fear right now. If I'm the Warriors, I don't fear anyone in the Western Conference. I feel like I can beat anyone. In a series is different. In a series is different, and we'll get to that at some point. It's going to be at some point. It's going to be next March, April, whatever it is. But I don't fear anyone in the West right now. If I was in the East, yeah, I'm not beating the Celtics or the Cavs. I'm just not. And by the way, lock it in right now. It'll be Celtics, Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference Finals because the East stinks. Sorry, Magic. I know you've been doing. They're 9-1 in your last 10 without Paolo Banchero, and it looks like he might be out for the year. We'll see.
Yeah. I think maybe the Bucks have the ability to get in there.
Five in a row. Yeah.
The Miami Heat. They're always a team that you can't legally
count
them out.
The Knicks, Kenny. I don't know about your Knicks right now. We'll see. They're 6-4 in their last 10. I don't know about the Knicks, but I.
But to your point, yeah.
The West, though,
the East, it's two teams.
Open.
Yeah. Also, you say there's no team that you would fear in the West if you're the Warriors. I kind of look at it the other way around. Like, any one of these teams, I'm looking at the top, 12 right now in the West. Basically, everybody other than Portland, Utah, and New Orleans. Any of those teams can beat any of these teams on any given night. You throw the Suns against the Grizzlies. That's a toss-up. Let's throw the Timberwolves and the Rockets together. Who knows what happens there? How about the Kings and the Lakers? That could go any sort of different ways. Mavericks, Clippers, good luck with that one. Like, any of these teams can beat each other on any given night. So, I mean, you might as well just have all these teams tied in the standings at the end of the year, because that's just how even it's going to probably feel once these playoffs start.
888-957-9570. Our guy Gene is out in Oakland,
Gene,
Sam. He wants to join the conversation. I hope you had a lovely Thanksgiving. 888-957-9570. What's going on, Gene? You're on the Morning Roast. You have a nice Thanksgiving?
Indeed I did, guys. I hope you did, too.
We did.
Yeah, had a wonderful meal. Yeah, I'm trying to see what I can do to lose the 2 or 3 pounds I put on yesterday. But anyway... All right, so listen, I think you hit on it, Spadone, when you said that Dre's going to have a real test going up against Nurkic. Excuse me. Yeah, absolutely. I want to believe that he's made major progress, and so far he's looked good, but I said in the beginning of the year, I said as soon as somebody pulls on his shirt or drags him to the floor, then that'll be the real test to see if he is able to restrain himself and not, haul off and try to hit the guy. Nurkic is the perfect foil for that. So we'll see, And if he is able to control himself, then I'm ready to say, yeah, he really is making serious progress, and I'm going to feel better about, moving forward with him and not having him suspended.
Now, excuse me. I want to say something about your question. What do you think is the biggest disappointment? For me, the biggest disappointment is losing DeAnthony Melton. Maybe I'm putting too much on it, but I believe what Steve Kerr said, that he completed the team. I'll look at the last three losses. We may have won two out of those three losses if we had a healthy DeAnthony Melton. And I thought he was what we really needed to go deep into the playoffs. So I don't know how we're going to compensate for that, but I think that was a serious loss and it maybe even a devastating one.
Yeah. Thanks, Gene. Appreciate the call. 888-957-9570. You know, some pleasant surprise, your biggest positives, your biggest negatives right now with the Golden State Warriors. Gene saying the loss of DeAnthony Melton. And yeah, what he could have done, he was that Swiss Army knife, if you will. He can plug and play anywhere, offensively, defensively. He was a huge starter. He was the missing link, if you will, that last piece of the Rubik's Cube puzzle that you needed to finish. And now it feels like it might be unfinished the rest of the season. We'll see if they can make moves, if they move off of him. I know Slater talked about it a couple days ago. Maybe they're going to find out a lot about the team in the next month, is what I know. They're having discussions internally right now about this team. How for real are they?
Yeah.
And I think they're looking at this next month of December to find that out. You're going to have some NBA Cup matches. Are they going to be playing? Hey, they'll be playing a couple more contenders that you maybe not have seen later on in the season. Like, they don't play the Lakers until Christmas. Maybe they see the Lakers earlier than that. You know, there's going to be some games here that they didn't have on their schedule potentially if they move up into these standings. When do they?
They'll be against better teams.
I need to find that bracket right now. Where are the Warriors at?
The NBA Cups can be taking place between the 9th and the 18th. It looks like.
Here we go. The Emirates NBA Cup. Excuse me. The Warriors are in the West Group C right now. They're leading it off. They're 3-0 in that, so they should be a lock right already. Right?
No, they've already clinched a spot.
Clinched a spot, so they got that. They clinched the group already. Eliminated from that group already is the New Orleans Pelicans. You still got the Mavs in there, the Nuggets, and the Grizzly. The Grizzlies not yet eliminated. Some other news and notes from around there. Suns, Lakers leading West Group B. Suns have the point differential, though, on top of them. And then in Group A, you got the Rockets clinching the group at 3-0. Then you got the Clippers, Blazers, T-Wolves, and Sacramento Kings all jockeying for position there. So, there you go.
It looks like it's the three group winners in each conference plus one wild card winner. Is that supposed to be the...
Correct. And the wild card winners right now, it would be, if it just ended right now, it would be the Dallas Mavericks would be there at 2-1, and then the Spurs, and then the Lakers.
Yeah, so right now, Houston, the Suns, and the Warriors are your automatic qualifiers right now. I'm sorry, who'd you say it was for the West? For the wild card?
The Dallas Mavericks, because they have a plus 41 point differential.
And I assume, I don't know what the seeding's going to look like. I assume seeding is based on record and point differential. The Warriors are 2-0 with a plus
49.
12 differential. 3-0. I'm looking at an older one. Yeah, 3-0 with a plus 12 differential. Suns are 2-1 with a plus 19 differential. Houston is 3-0 with a plus 55 differential. Wow, they're killing it. So looks like the Rockets would probably be the one seed there. And I don't know if Warriors, or it looks like right now the Warriors will be playing the Suns in that first round of the NBA Cup.
Everyone's really excited about the NBA Cup. I mean, it's just a huge tournament that everyone really wants to hang that banner like the Lakers did last year.
We really need a parade down Market Street there. We're going to be doing that remote broadcast out there, get that loud old baby that permeates down the street. Like, it'll be nice and chilly because it's going to be in the middle of December. Like, none of that stuff's actually going to happen. But
biggest win of the year for any Bay Area sports team, and I'm not counting the NFC Championship game.
What are they going to say about Steph after he wins the NBA Cup? Like, they're just going to keep coming up the final. Oh,
what
are
they going to say now?
He never won an NBA Cup MVP. It's
it's so the whole thing is it's always going to be something. It's very contrived, it is, but I think it has a little juice. I'm not mad at it. People are trying to like poo-poo it as much as they can, but it's fine. It's more basketball. That's all I care about. Like, that's all I care about right now. If the NFL tried to do anything like that, though, that'd be something else. It'd be kind of crazy.
That'd be hard to do.
It'd be adding more games and more field of fire.
I'd say baseball should try something like that. Like, in-season baseball tournament to liven things up, because, in May and June, it can get pretty stale.
Well, I want to get back to this real quick, because we're going to hit the Giants as you speak in baseball here. I'm going to get to that in just a second. To put a bow on this Warriors talk, though, as Gene was bringing it up, Draymond Green, a huge test for him tomorrow, going up against Nurkic. Last year in Phoenix, going up against Nurkic, the pimp slap, as I'm calling it. He was suspended indefinitely after that. You know, he's been on his best behavior so far this year. He's been in, there's been some, I'm not going to say incidents, but there's been some times where I'm like, okay, let's relax
for
here.
By Draymond standards, it's been better this
year.
Yeah, he's... By normal people standards, yeah.
Yeah, he's, you know, had some scuffles here and there, had some, you know, just some technical fouls, flagrants. It is what it is. But has he earned your trust back at all, Sam Lubman? Has he earned a level of trust with his style of play and his accountability this season?
Leveled, yes. Fully, no.
Okay.
It's trending in the right. It's at a point where, you know what, I'm willing to, you know, believe in Draymond Green. You know, much like Harvey Dent, you know, I believe in Draymond Green. No, I am. Has he fully won me back? No. I am cautiously, though, giving him my trust. With the hope that I, knowing that if it blows up, I set myself up for disappointment. But so far this season, yes, I like where everything is at with Draymond Green right now after, you know, the Warriors have played 18 games here on November 29th,
2024. And there you go. 888-957-9570.
You know, but Nurkic is going to be testing him, though.
Yeah.
Right? He's going to poke him. He's going to pinch him. Like, you know, Nurkic is going in tonight thinking, what can I do to get Draymond Green to take a swing at me? And for which, that's the reputation that Draymond's brought on himself. You know, players going to know that this guy, if you poke him and prod him the right way, you will get him to lash out, and that will bring all sorts of nonsense on him. So Nurkic, he's going to be all up in Draymond's grill tonight. So that's, or sorry, tomorrow night. So that'll be very interesting to see. We talk about, you know, the Warriors big test with the schedule. This is going to be Draymond's first real big test going against Nurkic here.
Speaking of tests, as we shift over to some baseball talk, there's going to be a first big test, a pop quiz maybe. A test is too strong because this is his first go-around for Buster Posey this offseason. Now, you know, the head honcho, Farhan Zaidi, he's out, Buster Posey in. He's going to have his imprints all over this San Francisco Giants organization, Sam Lubman. I know you're tapped in with the Giants more so than anyone else at the station. Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys pod. You and Shasky do a hell of a job. Find that
new
podcast.
New episode available now.
There you go. Where? Tell everyone.
Wherever you listen to podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Odyssey apps, even on YouTube now, so you can see what Shasky and I look like.
There you go. So find that. And I'm curious what you have thought about, first and foremost, the shift to Buster Posey. And, you know, Blake Snell was a Giant last year. They kept him. Farhan didn't feel like he got enough to want to part ways with a Blake Snell. He didn't see like any contenders weren't giving up at high-level prospects that he sought, or everyday players, current players that are major leaguers that, you know, he can plug and play right now. So they kept him. And what happened? Well, he goes to the Dodgers, signs 180?
Yeah, 5 years, $182
million. $182 million. And now Blake Snell's a Dodger. And the rich get richer, the poor get poorer. It's a tale as old as time. But what's the biggest area of improvement for you, Sam Lubman, that needs to take place for Buster Posey to have immediate success here as the new head honcho? What's his official title? Is it
President of Baseball Operations?
Okay, so that is his official title. They got the general manager, Manasian, coming over from the Brewers, and his brother, obviously, general manager, over with the Los Angeles Angels. So he's got that. He got Randy Winn. He's what, executive, player personnel.
Player
department.
Development. He was a roving instructor for a little while.
Bobby Evans is now back over here.
Bobby Evans and Jeff Barry are getting the band
back together from a decade ago.
A little bit, it sounds like that. I mean, Evans and Barry are being brought in basically to kind of be advisors, which they kind of were already doing. Buster was just on Buster Olney's podcast the other day, talked about kind of what this first month plus, or almost 2 months now, on the job has been like. And it's been a lot of learning. You know, that's why Evans is there. Like, when Evans was hired, the way Giants fans were acting, you think that Evans was going to be wielding full control of everything in this organization. No. Like, Bobby Evans is basically there to tell Buster, hey, this is how you do that. This is how guys are going to do this. This is what you're going to run into when you try to do something like that. Like, that's what Bobby Evans is for. Jeff Barry, he's there to be like, hey, this is how agents are going to act. This is what agents will say to you when you say this. This is what agents are wanting for that. So, like, what their roles are, that's basically what they're going to be doing there. But, yeah, it's been kind of a sleepy start to the Buster Posey era. Now, Grant, part of that's just how baseball is these days. Moves don't go popping off right away like they used to. The winter meetings are going to be in a few weeks, so my guess is you'll start seeing some activity there. But as far as what Buster Posey has to do here, I mean, I think you're looking at a season that's going to be basically an evaluation year for the Giants. Like, I don't think this team's that far away from a playoff spot, but from, like, meaningful contention, I think they got a ways to go. They got a hole in the rotation now that they need to fill. So that's going to be part of it. Do you fill that internally? Now, you do got Robbie Ray coming back to go behind Logan Webb. You got two good young pitchers in Hayden Birdsong and Kyle Harrison. So you do got a rotation. You know, we saw some young guys last year, like Landon Roop, come up and, you know, have some muted success here and there. But, yeah, you need to shore up that pitching rotation. And you need a shortstop. They don't want to put Tyler Fitzgerald there. He doesn't seem like he might be moving over to second base. I don't know what Tyro Estrada's future is going to be. It seems like he's just completely, you know, faded away into dust like Thanos snapped him out of existence. So they need to move on there. Ha-Sung Kim is the name that keeps popping up as being the perfect fit for the Giants. Sure, I think that's an okay move. It's a solid move. I don't know if that's a takes you to the next step move. I know
233, 11 jacks, 47 RBIs, 94 hits.
And he's
year.
A guy though with Ha-Sung Kim. He's gotten better every year that he's been in the bigs. And I look at his arc through baseball as being something what we would see similar to Jung-Hoo Lee. But Jung-Hoo Lee's basically go through his rookie year 2.0 next year after he missed the entire season, most of the entire season last year with a shoulder injury. So you need to figure out shortstop. I know a lot of Giants fans probably want Willy Adames. I was caping up for him, Adames, the other day. There's a very good chance that Willy Adames just gave you a very, you know, stereotypical contract year last year. But the other one is first base. They need to figure out first base there. Lamont Wade Jr. is not a first baseman. He can play the position. He does an okay job at it, but like Lamont Wade Jr., who did get tendered, so he will be back next year. He's okay at the position. Offensively, though, when you look up Lamont Wade Jr. highlights, every highlight video is titled, you know, Lamont Wade Jr. bat flips after ball four. Like, that's your highlight reel, is bat flipping after you draw a walk. Like,
Next level. I'd do that.
No, it's just, that's ridiculous. Like, I'm glad that he can get on base. He's one of the best in baseball at getting on base. But, like, dude, I need a second level of your game. When your only thing you can do is draw walks, that's not big leaguer energy right there. So, yeah, it's find another starting pitching option, you know, somewhere in the middle of the rotation, a 2-3 starter option. Or just go big and sign Corbin Burns. I know that's okay.
Why not?
Figure out that shortstop position. Probably going to be Ha-Sung Kim, so Giants fans get ready to be disappointed. And then I don't know what you do at first base, because Pete Alonso probably isn't going to walk through that door. I've been banging on the table saying, you know, go make the trade for Bo Bichette and Vlad Jr. That seems like a long shot. So realistically,
Goldschmidt?
What's that?
Paulie Goldschmidt? You want him?
Honestly, on a one-year deal.
How old is he?
Jesus. 37 years old. On a one-year deal to hit 230 with 16 bombs, like, you know, eight of those bombs coming when the Giants are down, you know, eight runs.
You know what they should do? If Bozy really wants to bring the band back together, during BP, just fly in every day or wherever you're going. Tim Lincecum to throw in BP. Pull up, be hitting nukes the entire
there
time.
There you go.
I swear to God, Paul Goldschmidt hit the farthest home runs I've ever seen off a guy named Tim Lincecum. Oh, my God.
He was
Lincecum killer.
Oh, the total Lincecum killer. It was.
He's 37, man. Yeah. You know, Hall of Famer. Paul Goldschmidt,
yeah, borderline.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.